The Storyteller Baron. Hieronymus von Munchausen tells of his fantastical, unbelievable, and true adventures on land, at sea, and in the air.
My dear friend, you will surely remember the five strange servants whom I had the good fortune and the skill to hire during my journey to Constantinople. They were the uncommon Lothar runner, the hunter who could see and shoot at the distance of 2 feet, the fellow who could hear the grass growing, and the lumberjack who, with a rope and a single pull, felled a whole forest, and the windmaker whose storm we happened to get into. They were all agreeable traveling companions and very attentive servants. Indeed, it is to all of them and to their outstanding abilities that I owe my life, which I once risked so very foolhardily. But as you will soon see, the temptation was great, extremely great. You see, my arrival in Constantinople caused great joy at the court of the Sultan. And before long, the Sultan wanted to have me with him all the time. He invited me to eat with him every midday and every evening. And he kept a very fine table. Once, when we just about reached the climax of our raptures about life in general, the Sultan, with a twinkle in his eye, whispered to me,
"Munchausen, come to my parlor after dinner, will you?"
Now that was a real honor. One which not even the Sultan's favorite wife was granted. And so after dinner, I proceeded to his parlor in a spirit of great expectation.
"Take a seat, Baron,"
said the Sultan, when I had entered and had closed the door behind me. I sat down on some beautifully soft pillows.
"What we are going to do now will brook no disturbance. It's an indulgence, Baron, that not even you will have enjoyed up to now."
The Sultan moistened his lips, and with a golden key, he unlocked a golden cabinet. Then he drew forth a bottle.
"Now look. Just look at that. A Tokai and water Tokai. You've never tasted a wine like this in your life before."
"The Sultan? What will Mohammed say?"
"Oh, I think he'll be pleased. He's always pleased when somebody else is happy. And as I shall undoubtedly be making you happy with a drop of this exquisite wine, and as your joy will doubtless be even greater when you see that I'm going to drink some too, then Mohammed's pleasure will be all the greater too. For how could I dare to diminish Mohammed's pleasure by not drinking any of it?"
The Sultan filled my glass and his. We chased glasses and drank.
"Yes? So? Yes? What do you say?" "Yes? Yes? What did I tell you? Yes, the wine is good, no doubt about it. But,
begging your pardon, Sultan, I would like to remark that I have tasted better with the Emperor Karl VI in Vienna."
"Impossible, my friend. Impossible. I can't believe that any Tokai could be better than this. I was given this one little magnum by a Hungarian cavalier who gave me the impression that it was an extremely rare delicacy."
"My dear Sultan, there's Tokai and Tokai. I stand by what I said. The wine I had in Vienna was better. What's the best?"
"Munchausen, you're talking a lot of rot. How can we bet when we haven't got the Vienna wine here?"
"Don't worry, Sultan. We'll get it. I'll have it here in 1 hour. straight from the Imperial cellars in Vienna.
Look, Munchausen, I know you was a truth-loving man, but now I really do believe you are bluffing.
Well, why not have a bet on it, Felton? If I fail to keep my word, then without more ado, I'll allow you to have my head chopped off, for I am the sworn enemy of all idle boasting. But what are you going to wager against my head?
As much gold, silver, pearls, and jewels as the strongest man you can find can drag out of my treasury. But if the bottle of Tokai is not here by 4 o'clock sharp, it will cost you your head and no mercy either. Because, as you know, I won't be hoped, even by my best friend.
Agreed, I said. The bet is on.
Agreed,
said the Sultan too. We smiled at each other, took a big sip of the Tokai, which up to this point was still the best, and then I sent for my lunch. I wrote a little note to the Imperial Cellarman in Vienna, explaining everything to him and asking him for a bottle of that excellent wine. I gave the note to my nana, who took off his weight, and immediately set out for Vienna. It was 3:05. Now the Sultan and I, in anticipation of the arrival of the better wine, started to drink up the rest of the bottle. A clock struck us. 3:15.
Cheers,
said the Sultan. Cheers, said I. The clock struck twice. 3:30.
Cheers,
said the Sultan. Cheers, said I. The clock struck 3 times. 3:15.
Cheers.
Cheers. I started to feel a bit hot under the collar. There was nothing to be heard and nothing to be seen of my brother. The Sultan had become somewhat more serious. Now and then it seemed as if he were looking across at the bell rope to ring for the executioner. Do you mind if I take a bit of fresh air, Sultan?
Not at all. Please do. Take a walk in my beautiful garden.
I did. But a few of the Sultan's servants followed me and did not let me out of their sight. I was afraid, dear friend. For the first time in my life, I was really frightened. And in my fear, as the hands of the clock pointed to 3:55, I sent for my listener and my hunter. They appeared at my side like lightning.
What is it, sir?
Listen, my friend. Life is very short and we have no time to lose. The gunner must be here in 5 minutes. Lie down on the ground, listener. Listen, where he is.
At once, sir.
Well?
Oh, damn it.
What's the matter?
Nothing, sir. Nothing at all. Wait a minute. Ah, he's lying down somewhere and snoring.
But where? Just a moment,
said the hunter, who jumped onto a high terrace, stood on tiptoe and called.
There he is, the old lazy bones, lying under an oak tree near Belgrade, the bottle of his pride. Just you wait, I'll get you.
The hunter fired the full load of his excellent musket into the top of the tree, so that a hail of acorns, leaves, and twigs pelted down on the sleeper, woke him up, and brought him so rapidly to his feet that together with his bottle, he was knocking on the Sultan's door by exactly 3:30. Now there was great joy, of course, on all sides. The royal mouth was already watering at the very thought of the glorious wine.
Minstrelsy,
said the sultan,
you must forgive me if I keep this bottle for myself alone. I can see that you know your way around in Vienna quite well, and will doubtless soon be able to get some more of this wine.
And with that, he took his golden key and locked up the bottle of his golden cabinet. Then he ran for the keeper of the purse. The sound of that gong was music in my ears.
Keeper, have my friend Münchhausen given as much out of my treasury as the strongest cello he can find is able to carry away.
Then the sultan shook hands with him somewhat ingenuously and allowed us to meet. I fetched my strong fellow. He brought his long rope with him, and we made for the treasury. Well, my friends, you can doubtless guess what was left when everything had been tied up and carried away. We, my servants and I, immediately hastened to the harbor, took the biggest cargo vessel we could find, and set sail at once in order to bring our haul into safety before anything untoward happened. But what I had feared came to pass. The keeper of the purse, his face was white as a sheet, had run to the sultan and told him everything. Now, of course, the sultan was bound to regret his generosity, and so he sent his grand admiral and the entire fleet after it. I suppose he wanted to make it clear to me that this was not quite what he had meant by the best. When I saw the Turkish fleet, my head, which had just regained a certain degree of firmness, began to wobble again. But then it was the turn of my windmaker.
Your Excellency,
he called, went onto the quarter deck, and stood in such a position that one of his nostrils faced the Turkish fleet and the other our coast. Then he produced such an adequate portion of wind that it sufficed to drive the whole of the Turkish fleet back into the harbor, its ships badly damaged, and to bring us in a few hours to Italy. What I did with my great wealth, I will not say. What I will tell you is that I enjoyed this voyage so much that I decided to go out soon in search of some adventures at sea. But about that, my dear friend, I will tell you another talk.
Regular listener and already subscribed to our program guide, you are well aware of the library.